Hello, friends. Welcome to the Words of Life program. Words of Life has a long history of radio ministry. We are presented each week at this time by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who support this radio effort with their prayers and donations. Our speaker is Brother David Johnson, the minister of the Sellersburg, Indiana Church of Christ. Today's sermon is entitled, At the Right Hand of the Majesty, and it's based upon Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. After worship and song, we will hear from Brother Johnson. Please pray with me. Lord, as human beings, we get to enjoy some special times in our lives. Talking to you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus is always special, and we thank you for this. Please use the words of this program so that what is said will bless and challenge us. Please also be with each one who is working to uphold your name, including works of faith and local congregations. We know from the study of your word that Jesus is going to call us home to be with you at your appointed time. Help us to be ready for that great event, and thank you for listening to us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present At the Right Hand of the Majesty, based on Hebrews 1:3.
It's great to be together again. As you listen to this Words of Life broadcast, as we share the Word of God with both the believer, the unbeliever, the skeptic. The title for the message is At the Right Hand of the Majesty. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Beautiful, comprehensive words concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Preachers and pastors sometimes are not sure what to preach on. Of course, this is a matter of prayer to God for His leading. I personally have found that the primary subject that I'm led to preach on, to teach on, is simply Jesus Christ Himself. After all, Jesus Christ is Christianity. Jesus Christ is the object of our faith. Jesus Christ, the Son, the one and only Son of God, best reveals God to us. Today, we will look at where is Jesus Christ now, and what is He doing now for us and ongoing. Regarding where Jesus is now is clearly revealed in Scripture. Let's begin. Referring to Jesus, listen to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24 and verse 51, which says, "While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into heaven." This was the scene of His final ascension into heaven. The last miracle that His disciples saw, witnessed in the presence of Jesus. This ascension is repeated again by the evangelist Luke in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 that he also wrote. After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. Jesus clearly went to a real place. Although a place hidden from our eyes, yet it's still a literal place. When Stephen, the first martyr of the church age, was dying, being stoned to death, God gave him the supernatural ability and comfort to see the one for whom he was giving his life. Consider what, again, Luke wrote in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Therefore, Jesus is not only in heaven, but also at the right hand of God the Father. Right hand implies a position of preeminence, of prestige, and of power. To Stephen, it granted the enviable privilege of being the very first believer on earth to see Jesus in his glorified body after his ascension, before Saul, who became Paul the apostle, before John, and before any of the apostles. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus is described in a different posture at the right hand of God. Consider a couple. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Consider Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. That says in part, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Meaning, Jesus is seated in terms of his redemptive work on the cross as once and forever completed. Now, you understand that according to scholars, there were no seats in the temple because sacrifices made there daily by priests were never finished. Yet, upon Christ's completed atoning sacrifice on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Gospel of John chapter 19 and verse 30. Yet, Stephen saw Jesus standing, showing his concern for him, and also standing to welcome Stephen's spirit into heaven as he was being stoned to death, the first martyr of the church age. Jesus is usually pictured as seated at the right hand of God, also fulfilling Old Testament prophecy, such as Psalm 110 and verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." This is a psalm of David, whom inspired by the Holy Spirit reveals that God the Father would address David's Lord, that is Messiah, in his ascension to sit in a place of honor at his right hand until he would make Messiah's enemies a footstool. We should understand that a footstool was an ancient Near Eastern picture, imagery of absolute and total vanquish in victory, thereby portraying the idea that the enemy's necks were underfoot. Jesus Christ, at the right hand of God, has even more rich imagery revealed, such as in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 22, that says, "Who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." Meaning that Jesus Christ, as the one and only Son of God, as the fullness of deity living in bodily form, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, has authority and power over all others, as does God the Father. For that matter, as does the Holy Spirit. We have one God, and yet in the Godhead, or the Trinity, there are three persons, but they have the exact same attributes. We may not completely understand that. Well, how can the finite mind understand the infinite nature of God, of the Godhead? Yet we should not get the idea that Jesus is perpetually, constantly, idly seated or inactive in heaven. Consider some revelations regarding Jesus' activity, which is most interesting, as touched on in Scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34 says in part, referring to Jesus, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Not only interceded, past tense, but interceding, That is ongoing for us, believers, for saints, for Christians, interceding for us. Although Christ's work of atonement on the cross is finished, his continuing ministry of intercession, that is entreaty, to intercede on believers' behalf, will continue without interruption until every redeemed soul is safe in heaven. This intercession at the cross, as mediator, and beyond was actually prophesied. It is written, the prophet Isaiah predicted this in advance. Consider Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 12, that says in part, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Furthermore, consider Hebrews. In the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, chapter 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Therefore, Jesus made intercession for transgressors on the cross, and Christ is our constant mediator and intercessor now in heaven for his own. Why? Obviously, Christians still sin after we are saved. Note this very important intercession of Jesus on our behalf. It says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, the Apostle John writing, inspired of the Holy Spirit, quote, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one," end of quote. Wonderful, revealing words. In the New American Standard Bible, it translates, quote, "We have an advocate," literally, parakletos, that is, one called alongside to help or as an intercessor. "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That's huge. This emphasizes our security in Christ as we persevere in him. What other important activity is Jesus now doing in heaven? Consider Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church." That is, Jesus Christ is actively now superintending his true church. Also referring to Jesus Christ, it says, for example, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 20, "He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek," meaning in part that Jesus Christ, when he entered the heavenly most holy place, the Holy of Holies, he did not leave after the sacrifice as did Aaronic high priest, but he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. That is, Christ remains forever as guardian, so to speak, of our souls. Not only in Christ are believers secure, in Christ, secure in the impregnable heavenly realms, but our Savior also stands with us into eternity. And dear believer, this should affirm our assurance, our security in Christ Jesus as we persevere, as we are overcomers in him. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26 states, Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Understanding all of these truths of Christ's ongoing work on believers' behalf is a great comfort. Consider this. Can you imagine the number of words it took to write a 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica? It must be an awfully gigantic number. But an even more amazing thing is that only 26 different letters were used in our alphabet, our phonetic alphabet, at least in English. In the other languages, they use the same alphabet. Just 26 different letters were used to write a 30-volume set of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which was written in English, which is probably translated into other, possibly other languages. The authors did not have to go outside the alphabet to assemble that massive, massive collection of knowledge. It provided for them everything they needed for this one task. Jesus Christ, here's the application. Jesus Christ called himself the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, illustrating that we do not have to go outside of Jesus Christ for anything that we need of eternal value. Jesus Christ is the supreme sovereign alphabet, so to speak. There is nothing outside of his knowledge, nothing outside of his control, nothing outside of his power. Jesus Christ is in heaven. But I assure you, from the Scriptures, he is not just idly sitting at the right hand of the Majesty. Jesus said, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." John chapter 5 and verse 17. And he continues to work on our behalf. And the Holy Spirit continues to convict the unbeliever to come to Jesus, to receive him as personal Savior and Lord, to be baptized into him, to obey him, to live for him. Jesus Christ exercises ultimate sovereign control over every person, object, and event, and not one molecule in the universe is outside of his dominion. That is God. Glory to God and to Jesus Christ, his Son, forever and ever. Amen.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Arca the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed for the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, and the blessed Spirit through him give from yonder glorious throne. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for the
Jesus died for me. Thy praises and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Throughout eternity.
We pray that you have been blessed by Brother Johnson's sermon. If you have a question regarding Brother Johnson's sermon, or if you need spiritual guidance, please write to us. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by requesting CD 2241. That's 2241. Hearing from you is always an encouragement to us. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.